What's going on? Welcome to Spinning It. Hey, it's DJ JoJo here. Look, appreciate y'all tuning in. Whether you're watching on Bluetooth Plus, you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast, man, we appreciate you. Look, my next guest right here, I couldn't get him until literally about now. He's been a little busy, and actually, this is the first guest I'm gonna be having via video chat. And here's the thing, I wouldn't want it any other way. In terms of having my first video guest be from someone complete other side of the country. I'm talking about we're going coast to coast today on Spinning It, because my special guest today, like I said, he's been a little busy, but he's cool now because he's coming off celebrating back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Look, ladies and gentlemen, our guest today on Spinning It, DJ for the Florida Panthers, DJ Genesis. What up, man?
What's up, my brother? What's up, my brother?
Oh,
what's
my up, God. Was that an okay intro for you, bro?
That was great, man. Hey. I'm happy to be here. You know what? And because this is your first time interviewing somebody, you know, via we'll use this as a guinea pig in case you need to do it to anybody else. You know what I mean?
Hey, it sounds good. Fun with it. Hey, it sounds good. I feel like you're in the room with me right now, man. That's kind of the beauty behind technology now and just podcasting in general. Like I said, my brother, I feel like you're in the room with me, and we're just chopping it up. We're catching up. And to give you guys a little background, I met Genesis. What was that? How long ago? Like what? A few years ago?
It was 2023. It was my first season.
The first season.
You came, which was dope, which I also want to know about how you did the whole fan fest that you came over, flew across the country. I think you guys were doing the whole road trip, I believe.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah. That was
pretty cool to not only meet you, but also find out that I can lean on you actually for like advice, because you've been doing this for a while. And obviously it was my first stint in the NHL. To give me some tidbits on how to rock out and what to do. And you just said, man, do your thing, man. And I always say I appreciate you. And I thought that was pretty cool for you to come through with the fans all the way from the West Coast to a game, man. That was pretty dope.
Yeah, man. You know, a testament to you, because honestly, I going into it and just even hearing the warm-up mix and all that, it definitely didn't seem like it was your first year, man. Seemed like you're a true vet already at the time. So kudos to you. And thanks for responding, man. It's funny. Like I think fans and just people in general don't realize that, like, dude, like it's kind of hard to know each other in this realm, right? We're so focused on kind of, you know, on our own teams. Right. And, you know, like you could have totally disregarded my message. I'm not gonna lie. I slid in the Genesis DMs, people. I did. I slid in the DMs and I said, yo, I'm at the game. I see you. You're crushing it. Would love to meet up at some point. And, you know, I'm guilty of this too. Sometimes like I don't see my message until way after the game. So the fact that you hit me up too, man, and was willing to welcome me was great.
Remember Joe, man. And of course, because I look at us as a DJ family, and we're in a space where kind of mature now. And when you get, I believe when you get to these particular spaces, look at it, my cousin broke it down. There's 32 teams in the league, or
yes,
30,
sir.
Two teams. And I'm not sure how many of them actually have DJs, but let's say all of them did. That's still a small percentage. If you look at pro leagues in America, that's 132. Let's say all of them had a DJ,
yeah,
you know, one of that. And I kind of took that into perspective, and I was like, so when you reached out, and shout out to DJ Joe Green with the Vegas Knights and Summer Knox in Toronto, when we reached out to each other, I think we all kind of had an understanding, like, you know, this is a family thing. We all kind of go through it together. We all may have different teams, different organizations, but it's the same grind. It's the same 41 home games for everybody.
Yes, sir.
Different special nights, you know, that we all have to cater to. I think you take the cake, and I'm gonna give you love, because you been doing it 10 years and you host, you do the music, you gotta do commercials, you do the podcast. Man, Anaheim got you working, man.
Yo, hey, man.
Hey, they might know something, man. They got you working. I hope your contract looks good. I'm gonna speak up for you in the next negotiations, man. Yo, Joe, I ain't never seen somebody work as much as you, man.
Hey, man. Hey, that means the world to me, man. Coming from you, I see you doing your thing out there too. You DJ for multiple leagues, and you got different shows, and you're doing events, and like, man, same honestly goes to you. And that's just a part of the DJ grind, right? Is that, you know, people might know us from our respective teams, but it truly is a grind, because hey, 41 home games plus maybe a few preseason games, that's just 40 plus days at a whole year of 365. You know what I mean? What are we doing the whole other times? And what's great is that those other opportunities, whether that's, you know, for different sports teams or doing events, that just makes us better for our craft when we come back to the hockey season. You know what I mean? Back. Yes, sir.
I'm gonna tell you this, man. I'm not gonna lie. I know you're talking about the 40, but these last 3 years have been, I don't know if many people, maybe the Patriots, the Heat a decade ago when they went to four straight finals. But the reason why I look at it, like, it can get exhausting to a degree in terms of like the mental grind. And not because of the 41 days and you got to go, you got to perform at a high level in front of 18,000 people or so on and so forth.
There's a lot of prep that goes into that. It's not just showing up.
There's a lot of prep, but then the trajectory of the team,
yes,
also adds to the pressure of being on. Now you got interviews. Now there's certain type of people in the building. The commissioner is always here, you know, type work. And so, like, you're buttoned up. The media zone is a little different than it usually is in game 27 than it is in the playoffs. And so getting accustomed to that and seeing that stuff for the last 3 years has really makes me button down and understand what it is to operate at this championship level, not just with mixing, not just with DJing or interacting with fans and those in the building, but seeing the organization itself make the shift, the game presentation make the shift. In terms of like wanting to be better, wanting to get better and be better and match what's on the ice. That's all. Yes. I think any game presentation's goal is to have to match what's on the ice and not have to feel like they're pushing the vibe. You know what I'm saying? If I can match what's on the ice, then my job is easy.
Absolutely.
You make production so much when the team is good.
Yes. And man, you really came in 2023 at a good time, man.
A little bit.
But you know, one thing I'll say to that though is, you know what? I agree with that sentiment, but I also have to throw out that, you know, from a game presentation side, from a DJ side, a host side, just in general, the whole show is that, yes, want to match what's going on the ice, but also we got to be our own thing. Cause what if what's going on the ice isn't going great. Right. And we got to control what we control. And that's the vibe, right? Whether that is musically or whether that is jumping on the mic and we might be down a couple goals, but getting the place as loud as you winning the cup recently. You know what I mean? Like it's I feel like it kind of goes both ways for sure.
They do go hand in hand, but I will say this. I've been blessed. Let me take it for instance. We would do a lot of road watch parties, you know, for the last 3 years. And I have to say, I'm not sure what the record is, but the guys are elite on the road, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So in the arena, of course, win or lose, you know, you can still, you have all the other activations and festivities are going on. You can drink, you got all the pictures, you got the mascot, you got all these things going on. The watch party is kind of like you, it feels like it's you against the world.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It's a smaller crowd, but almost
smaller crowd, intimate.
Yeah.
And the boys make the production of that so great because they have a great record. They win, they score goals. Even if we're down, they do a great job of coming back. So we get excited. So it's been a great for production. It almost feels scripted. I'm not gonna lie.
One thing I'll say about watch parties, because I you know, dating back to, man, You know, you're making me feel old now, man. You're saying you started with the Panthers back in 2023. I started with the Ducks in 2010, man. I just celebrated 15 years.
Hey, yo, congratulations, man.
I appreciate it, oh, man.
No, that's the whoever said or whoever thought that was like, yo, I have a 15-year DJ career with professional organizations. Cause obviously you do more. I don't know how long you've been with the Angels, but I don't know if I can
just
on here.
No, you're good. No, you're good. Been with them for a few years now, but a part of that was because of my time here. It got me ready to also bring the talents to you know other things, whether that's you know stepping up at my events, my weddings, my proms, all that stuff. The confidence, you know, when you can talk and play in front of you know upwards of 15,000 to 17,000 people, you know, like the confidence to then you know do it for a few hundred. It translates. And then even, you know, with the Angels bumping that crowd up to a baseball stadium type crowd, it helped me kind of be confident in those situations. But I know that goes the same for you, man. You know, like, let's talk through it. Let's let the people know who is DJ Genesis. You know, let's go back to the roots a little bit and how that kind of got to where we're at now and even starting back with the Panthers back in 2023.
Yeah, man, let's take it back. Let's take it back to the old school.
Take it back to the old school.
You know what I mean? The best days. I started my DJ career about 20 years ago. You know what I mean? Young buck coming out of college and I'm a best friend at the time. His boyfriend was a DJ, and I had just finished putting together my graduation mix, where I stole like mixes from other mixtapes, and I cut them together where I thought it would be good. So I might have 20 minutes of dance hall, then I'll stop right.
You'll
here
stop and it, and then you'll just drop mixes. You'll drop a quick DJ Genesis.
I wasn't even DJ Genesis. It was like if it had. You might have heard the other DJ's name from the mix. But I was just interested in making sure that I had the best part of the mix to be able to play so people can dance.
So let me stop you right there for a second. It's because all throughout college, Genesis was a super educated man. What did it right, never cheated. But once he graduated, he was like, yo, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. So I'm going to get...
You ain't trying. Chop this thing
chop
up.
It up.
I'm going to take your CD. This CD is by DJ JoJo, M-Mix, Dot, everybody. This mix is by everybody. And you know what the best part? You know the best part, JoJo? No one got paid. No one got paid.
Hey, neither did you, I'm sure, at the time. So it's all good.
I was the DJ. Because the way the conversation started with me and a couple of friends that we were like, and this is what happens when you're like, you're 19, 20, graduate. And it's like, yo, we need a DJ. How much? DJs at the time, they were like $350. He was like, no, that's too much. That's a lot of money. $350 was a lot of money for four of us to compile for a good DJ. And we were like, don't you got those mix CDs that we listen to all the time? So that's how DJ Genesis actually was technically born, you know, real talk, because we didn't have $350 to pay a real DJ. So what's the saying? Out of necessity is intuition, or whatever it is.
Hey, do what you gotta do, bro. Do what you gotta do.
Do what you gotta do. And we had a good time, too.
Exactly.
We had a good time with them little... And so from that, funny enough, my friend was there. And she was like, yo, you really want to learn, you know, after the night of the 10 DJs. So she said, you want to learn? And so her and her boyfriend at the time, he had a little set. You know, I learned how to do that. And then once I learned how to mix and get, which I call getting out of first gear, you know, DJ world, it was over for me.
It just took off.
My knowledge of music was already lit. And then it was just, how do I combine? How do I get better? I was in the lab every day. You remember the time when you started DJing and you were in the lab with no events to go to, but you had every single song in the world?
Like absolutely.
You had all the time in the world to download, to mix it down, everything, and no gigs.
No gigs, you know but hey. But then you get to those first couple gigs and then you feel like you have no music.
Then you got no music because you listen to other things. And you're like, oh my God.
You're like, what do I play next? Like, what do I play next? I've been prepping for this and now I feel like I have no songs in my library.
Nothing, bro. Like, because I grew up in a dance hall world, actually. And what happens is, you know, if you DJ in there, if you want to be successful, you kind of beat through the tracks. Like, you don't really play them out.
Oh, no.
You know, you.
You're like first verse, chorus, and you got to get out.
Out of there. You know what I mean? And you got a rhythm. So I learned in that world, so you always had to be on. So you crowd, funny enough, I remember somebody tapped me one time. He's like, yo, look at the crowd, because I was chopping the track so fast, getting them out, because that's what I had learned to do in that world. And everybody was kind of like, she was like, yo, you can relax. You can play the tracks now. And then, you know, transition from there. Boom. Then, you know, you DJ in that particular world, in the dance hall world, I mean, the hip hop world in Miami. And then I started to realize that I want to do this like for real, I didn't want any other job. So you got to start looking at what that looks like. And a lot of times the club scene and those little weekend parties don't cut the checks. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So that was another life balance of like, okay, how do I do this? So I had an opportunity to go on tour relatively early in my DJ career when I was about 24, 25, to go on tour with Kelly Rowland and Solange. Yeah.
You dropped that so casually. You're like, oh, yeah, it was no big deal. You know, Kelly Rowland.
Little Grammy Award winning artist.
Yeah.
Now, we traveled to France, Cannes, and that's when I really learned that, yo, I can do this at a high level.
Yeah.
You know, like, as you were doing it at the height of productions, the height of clubs, she deserves and she gets all the amenities that's needed for a superstar to perform, you know, whether it's mics, whether it's so when you go to a sound check, you understand. And obviously, and just a shout out to KR, she's such an amazing person, like off stage, that sometimes you forget, like, she's this Grammy Award winning artist.
Yeah.
And then when she gets on stage and she, like, what we say, we turn it on, you know what I mean? She turns it on, she takes it to another level, which also inspired me to be a great person off stage. And then also you can turn that superstar thing on, you know what I mean? When you need to, and light up the crowd and talk on the mic and talk your noise and make sure that everybody knows that you're in the building. So I kind of got that kind of balance. I learned that balance on those tours with her in terms of like, yo, being able to be a great person to your staff and to your crew. And then boom, when I get on stage, I'm finna light this thing up. I'm gonna do the flirt thing. I'm finna sing. I'm gonna do all my genres.
Yes.
And you're gonna have a good time. And I learned that from her. We must have rocked out for about 3-4 years. And then, you know, she got married and had a baby and, you know, that stuff. So then you had to pivot. You know? Yeah, that life's over. You know what I mean?
So let me ask you this, Genesis. Like, you seem like you had it down in the dance hall realm, even started to jump on tour. And even regardless if once that ended with Kelly having kids and whatnot, you probably could have kept that going. At what point did you start to think like, man, I want to jump into sports? And how did that kind of come about?
I'm gonna let you know something about me. I don't know how spiritual everybody is, but like, I really believe that like God controls my life. Yeah. And puts me in position. I'm not gonna lie to you, I never really asked to be in sports. You know, I do know that when I made the transition from the club scene to the corporate scene, that it entails a lot. It could entail sports, it could entail entertainment, it could entail movies, it can entail so many different things. I just knew that I wanted to be prepared for whatever happened. So how I got into the sports DJing aspect of it, I gotta give a big shout out to Miami Pro League, which is you guys over there have the Drew League in LA.
Okay, yep.
So it's kind of a similar vibe. Obviously, the Drew League has been around for at least 50 plus years now. We're entering our 11th season, and it's kind of like a summer league where it's an NBA sanctioned league where pros can come and keep their game tight. You know what I mean? And also you got pros from around the world as well that come and play and they get their game in. Sometimes you get some college guys. And so I had an opportunity from a good friend of mine here, Kyle, who runs Miami Pro. Shout out to him for putting this together, because his nonprofit is for the kids, really for the community. And I had an opportunity one summer where he needed me to DJ the situation. I didn't know what to expect. For instance, I never DJed a basketball game before, you know, but I did know the vibe he wanted. He wanted, obviously, hip hop. He wanted to keep it clean, and he wanted the players to enjoy themselves. But what another aspect that I learned is that they drop sound effects and, you know, these particular like street vibes, you know, like, so if someone gets a shot blocked, you might hear the Kembe Mutombos, "Not in my house."
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, they blow a layup. I have the Jay-Z sample, "Dude, Finish Your Breakfast," you know, things like that. So that, and we have a street MC. If you ever see N1, and you got MC. So we have an MC, Debo, that turns up and does that. So we give the energy that, I'll give it to them, like that New York type street vibes, which with the Miami touch, because we play indoors, is always cool. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna lie to you. It does bring the Miami element. A lot of the pretty women come through, you know, to show love. You know, maybe they're looking for a ball player. And I mean, I don't know. But we cater to that, and it's a fun time. So from that, I did an event with the Miami Dolphins, and somebody from the Miami Dolphins heard me at that event. They happened to move to the Florida Panthers. You know, because you know, in this world,
yes,
it's very small.
It's small.
I mean, like, you work for NI, you work for all of them, Angels, and all these guys. Like, all the cameramen work for all the organizations. You know, it's a very small world in the sports community, especially in the community itself. So with that came the opportunity. He moved there. I think the Florida Panthers were changing direction in terms of their game presentation and so on. And they said, hey, they're looking for a DJ. There might be a possibility. You know, people talk, industry talks or whatever. And whenever you're ready, you know, I'll be ready to go. You know, and this industry is very small. It's very tight knit. A lot of people work for different organizations or whatnot. So when he moved to the Panthers, he was like, there's an opportunity for us to have a DJ or whatnot. But, you know, people talk, you know, industry talks, and you never know what's going to happen. That's one thing I did learn, and I wasn't waiting for anything. So let's say he told me this in like in February. I didn't really get the call to really lock in until like August.
Okay.
You know what I mean? August 2022. You know what I'm saying? Because that's when the season started. So 2022 comes, and then my boy, shout out to him, put me in touch with the VP, you know, the VP of game presentation. And then him and I spoke. Big shout out to Mike. He does a great job. Him and I kind of came in the same year. And he said what they were looking for. And when we started, funny enough, Joe, he said, we're going to try about 20 games. You know, let's do about 20 games here and there. We'll let you know what games they are. And I was like, cool, you know, because I was like, let me just get my feet wet. Professionalism is pretty dope. I know what I'm going to bring to the table, but like step by step. Let me tell you something, Joe. After the first three games, we had a three-game homestand to start the season. Yeah, he was like, we're going to probably need you every game.
Yeah, let's go. That's what I'm talking about.
Went 20 to 41 real quick.
Like that.
I'm at every game now, and my first. So that's how I got into it, in the conversations with Mike, in terms of getting the position or whatnot. Obviously, the Miami Pro League did come up, so DJing in that particular league definitely did help, because I was able to answer certain pertinent questions about, like, you know, timeouts and intermissions and what do you do at halftime and what do you do with so and so, you know, which is important for you know, game presentation. In hockey, obviously a totally different beast in terms of like how it's even structured to the culture and so on and so forth, but nothing we can't do, baby.
Oh yeah, absolutely. and then speaking of the game presentation, you know, one of the most iconic parts of every single hockey game is the goal sequence, right? You know, it's hard to even get out of your seat because you might miss one of the only goals of the game, right? And that's one of the beautiful things about hockey. But I feel like one thing we have in common is with that goal celebration is just the, you know, how much both of our fan bases and frankly our markets kind of embrace our team. In our case here, our goal song is by The Offspring. It's called "Coming for You." You know, we partner up with the band. They're huge fans of us now, and like we even have their own night, come out and play night. We've done it for a couple of years now. And I know for you guys, you know, DJ Own Boss, I believe, made a specific Panthers remix. Not many artists, DJs are making like a specific, you know, team cut or remix of a song. Can you kind of talk through how that kind of went about for the Panthers?
So the goal song. So I remember playing that song in our pregame mix. You know, big track. They were here for Ultra, and our Own Boss and Silva and Brian, they had the idea. Asked from our VP team. You know, I didn't have anything. Well, yeah, the VP team to see if they can put something together, you know.
And do they have like roots in Florida or anything like that, or are they just like
Wow, the track was hot.
The track was hot.
The Go Cats Go. They came up with all of that. Brian actually breaks it down on his IG. I'll send it to you how they put it together and how they use the obviously the original track, and then they put the Go Cats Go, and then there's a part that goes na 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 when it dies down a little bit. So to create an anthem was probably the best thing to do, especially at this particular time of Panther hockey, because now you're hearing that in the clubs.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying. I actually did a birthday party for the Miami Heat host. And I was playing the goal song a couple of times, and everybody's turning.
And that's what's so great about the community, right? Like, they'd almost rather hear that version than the OG, right? Like, that's amazing. That's the power of this all, right?
To get everybody together singing one song. So we have this thing, me and Gabby, shout out to our arena host, Gabby, that when we score, we say, what's our favorite song? And we're like, this song. And obviously it goes off just to have fun with the fans and whatnot, because when you get to hear, because before we used to play an individual goal song for each player.
Yep.
And I'm not gonna lie to you, sometimes that can ebb and flow.
Yeah, 100%. Which is why here in Anaheim, we play the team goal song. And then once I kind of finally, you know, because, you know, some of those, I give props to any DJ that has to do straight to an individual goal song, because sometimes in hockey, man, it could be a tip-in. You're not 100% sure who scored right at that moment. So for me, obviously, to have the team goal song is great, but it's also a mechanism for me to also, even though if it's just for a few seconds, be like, confirmed, you know, that this player scored, and then I hit that track, you know?
A lot of those technicalities, because, you know, somebody can shoot from the blue line and you never seen it touch someone's skate. Yeah. And they're like, was it the defenseman or was it the forward that tipped it in or whatever? You got to find out. Trust me, my boy Ember, the PA announcer, sometimes he's looking at the phone like, can you call me so we can make the goal call? You know what I mean? It's so funny, the behind the scenes of what goes on sometimes in terms of like, the positioning of the game and what you need to keep the game going and what you need to keep it hype, and you're waiting for another entity to give you information.
Yeah.
Sometimes
it's absolutely wild. We have to talk about it. Look, back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, you know, you coming in 2023, and you're riding this wave as the team is literally going to the top. You know, let's talk through that a little bit, man. How's it been the last couple of years? I know that's a super loaded question because obviously it's been awesome, but to even transition from that first year, you know, to now, and kind of that wave, the ups and downs, way more ups, obviously, but kind of talk through how it's been for you and overall the fan base too over in Florida. And not just, hey, I want to say specifically you guys in Sunrise and Fort Lauderdale. I know there's another squad over there, so I don't want to say generally in Florida. But I will say though, Florida in general, between you guys and the Lightning, have been absolutely crushing it in the hockey world. You know, what is it, 4 Stanley Cups in the state of Florida over the past, you know, just few years? Crazy.
But all 6 years has been a representative from Florida.
So yes. That's insane. Cool. Insane.
Yeah, man. The cup likes the sun. For some reason, man, the cup like the beach, man. Why you think Kachuk was taking it in there, giving it a nice little bath? You know what I mean? A little ocean bath. No, it's been, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going to lie to you. It's been surreal. That's probably the best way I could say it. And the reason I could say surreal is because it's not like I was a part of the organization through the lean years, you know what I'm saying? Like, Obviously, as a fan in South Florida, I would check in, see what the Panthers are doing. They're around here. I know friends and people that go and like the Panthers or whatever. So you would peep in, you see what they did. Before I joined, they had won the President's Cup, you know? So they were doing well. They were respectable, you know, at this particular degree. But then they knew that their big brother, a couple miles up the road, was always on top in Tampa Bay. So it was almost like, well, you can't get past Tampa Bay. It doesn't matter what happens. That's what the general feeling. And then in South Florida, you got to remember, we're a football town, one. We're waiting for the Dolphins to do something. You know? The Heat have kind of stolen the hearts of the general fan because they've been probably the most consistent team over the last 10 to 12 years here in South Florida. So it's easy to be a Heat fan because you know you're going to get a solid product. A Panther fan now seemed to be like a secret club. Like, you didn't know someone was a Panther fan or whatever the case would be until it came up in conversation. Not a lot of paraphernalia and memorabilia being all worn or passed around. So when I joined, I understood from the standpoint of like notoriety in South Florida that I didn't know if many people would have respected it in terms of like, you know, me being, obviously they knew me being a professional, being a part of a professional organization, but the Panthers weren't really looked at as a team of like, you know, glamour down here in South Florida. It's always going to be the Dolphins, the Heat, the Hurricanes, you know, and then Messi came. So that gave Inter Miami a little bit of love right there too.
Just a little bit.
So you're battling all these particular, you're battling all of this in this world. And then when I joined, we had just changed coaches as well. Paul Maurice had just joined the team as well. We had just traded for Matthew Tkachuk. So all these guys, like me, I'm coming with all these guys. Me and these guys are coming. You know?
It's just great timing overall. From a player standpoint, from a DJ entertainment standpoint, man, y'all came storming in.
I want to say that Zito's first year was also that year as well, when he bought in Tkachuk. I want to say that was his first year as well. So a lot of first-timers coming in the building in 2022, you know, including myself. And I was tasked with kind of changing the culture, not in terms of just music, but how music was done. When people used to come in, I believe they just played a Spotify playlist of like generic music that might have been hot that somebody selected. But now when you come in, you're hearing a good hour mix as you walk into the building to build you up for the game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm dropping everything from old school, new pop. You know what I'm saying? We got obviously our hip hop. We got to drop in our reggaeton and salsa, dance all for our Caribbean massive. You know what I'm saying? And country and so on and so forth. So in that intro, you're getting like a South Florida blend of music, you know, that everybody can kind of be comfortable with, you know, and that changed the game instead of like just hearing a track all the way out or just having this particular type of music being played. Now you're getting everything mixed in a whole bowl, literally in the bowl,
sir.
We call it the bowl in the arena. So that was what my job was. I'm not going to lie to you. My first year, it took about, you know, a couple games just to figure out where to park. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, because things change and move. And to get your ID, because the way it kind of came fast when the season started, you know? So a lot of things started to manifest a lot after my first season. I believe my first season was just getting comfortable with, like, when you came and heard the mix, we've come a long way. Like, I didn't know. Yeah, me and my VP had to have a conversation about, like, the type of style that we wanted. And he said to me, I wanted to sound like Liv on a Saturday night. So why you ain't say that? I said, you should have said that a long time ago. I got you. He said, live on a Saturday night. That's where I come from, man.
Like,
live on a Saturday night, bro. We gonna pump this thing up. So he wanted, like, heavy, big room EDM to kind of like a Vegas style energy. And so
I love that. Wait, right when doors open, huh? Just right from the jump. I'm coming in with my hot dog, my nachos, and it's already pumping. I haven't even sat down yet. I'm fist pumping. I just dropped my hot dog because I'm fist pumping to the drop right now.
Oh my God, you know, like this. Sometimes I bring that energy. Sometimes depending on the day, if you got a 12:00 game, can't beat them over the head that early, you know. Imagine you come in a sandstorm.
Doors just open. There's like two people in the building. Yo, man, I love that, bro. That's incredible, man. And so obviously you start that off. You're riding the wave. Now you're getting into, like, deep in the playoffs. You're like, at that point you're like, oh man, like we could win this. We could win the damn thing. Like, what point did you start to really feel it that first year? You're like, we're gonna win.
It's a rewind. We're making vacation plans 2 weeks before the season ends, because if anybody remembers, the Panthers were not in the playoffs, and then they win 7 out of like 8 games or something like that, and sneak in. And Pittsburgh loses a game that they should have won. Mm-hmm. If anybody has a histrionics on it, and we sneak into the playoffs, and we're like, oh, we got work next week. I believe the whole organization felt that way. Like, oh, we got to play. Oh, we got to. The reason why I say that, if any Panther fans are listening to this podcast, it was at the games that season. You know how you make the place look pretty and the production is up. We had nothing. We didn't have a sign that said 2023 playoffs.
But hey,
we had nothing on the ice. Bro, I'm talking, we had, you know how you have these rally towers? These rally towers. Nothing, man. Just out the blue. And we're like, okay, we got to do this.
But here's the thing. What most hockey fans will say, right, is it's the team that goes in hot that ends up staying hot all the way through the end. And then, hey, you guys win the ship. Just like that, man. But you know what I mean.
So I heard. But at the same time, I'm like, we had to play Boston, who had the best record in NHL history.
Yeah.
You know, so we were like, all right, we're here. All right, cool. We still make vacation plans. This might be a quick 5. All right, cool.
Nope.
We went in.
On vacation, man. We ain't going on vacation. That's one thing you got, you know, like I've learned in 15 years in the game here. We've been in the playoffs. We've been on the playoffs. I don't make plans till like post July. I'm literally leaving for vacation this week with my family. But I knew for sure, no matter what, whether the Ducks don't make the playoffs or we go all the way, that I'm safe around this time of year.
Yeah. Hey, man. When I got people higher ups talking about they going somewhere, I'm like, I'm gonna make plans too. You know,
starts from the top.
I'm just saying, man. No one was really prepared for that playoff run until we actually made it. And then when we played Boston and we were down 2-0 and we're down 3-1, we're like, all right, cool. I'll never forget game 6 of that series. It's probably the loudest I've ever heard that arena.
It's crazy.
Game 6 of that. I'm talking about insane. We won 7-5, and then we go back to Boston, and we win game 7. And that watch party was also insane. I remember people on the team, you think we won a championship, champagne. It was absolutely bedlam.
That was the best team in the league at the time. I get it.
Bedlam. And then we make it to the finals. And we were kind of like happy to go because we knew the guys were beat up. We were playing guys that didn't play before. Chucky was like walking on one leg and all these particular things. So we were happy to do that. The second year now I'm going in, and my perspective now is to get a little better in terms of the DJing and do a little more. So now this year, not only am I doing the mixes and the pumps now, now I'm doing the intermission events. Now I'm doing all the corporate events or whatever the case would be, doing a couple commercials here and there for like social media. So, and that's all cool, because one thing I do understand about when you get to this space is that everybody got their job, you know, everybody has their particular job, and that's why you're able to run at an efficient level. You know, I don't want to do more. I don't want to step on anyone's toes. I got a job that's one of one. You know what I mean? I DJ, yes, nobody else could do this. So yep. I was happy in my role, but the organization, big shout out. I got to say this, big shout out to the Panthers. As we were growing as an organization and a team in terms of winning and expecting to win, that to me is the biggest thing, Joe.
Yep.
Is winning is cool, and getting to a finals is cool when everyone's like, yeah, it was nice. But expecting to win is a whole different world, man.
Whole another
it's
level.
A whole different. Is a and even for me, somebody that's I'm not a player, but when I walk into a bar or I walk into some people are looking at me like I'm a part of the team, like I got 50 points on the season, you know?
I'm like, yes, sir.
Not me. You gotta talk to Benny and Kachuk and Barkey and those boys. You know, they're talking. So I have to feel that. You know, I have to. And I feel that particular energy, and that energy sparks me to not only be a great personality, because I'm not only a DJ now for the Panthers, I'm a personality now, you know? Like,
yes, sir. That's what we have in common, baby. Like, yeah, exactly. We're spinning the tracks, but we're also talking on the mic. When you also have a voice on top of the music that you're playing in the arena, that's a whole nother level of representation with the organization and for a team, man. And so what I gotta say, I was already proud of you for the things you're doing as a DJ, but to step into that world of being on camera and also being a host, man, as someone that's doing it here in Anaheim, I know that's not easy to get to. And yeah, man, I'm just so pumped for you, man. Congratulations. And dude, you sound and look great out there.
Appreciate that, man. I have to give a big shout out to Gabby, our in-arena host. It was her idea to possibly have me help do the pumps or whatnot. Gabby is amazing. She's sweetheart. But she came to the conclusion that sometimes when it comes to those pumps, her voice may not reach the masses in ways you may want it to reach. You know what I'm saying?
It's the same with me. I have Ali K here. And so Ali K and Gabby are in that same realm of like being that female host and voice. But it was kind of like, that's kind of the same for me. It was like, hey, you know what? There's we want to test you out and just hype up the crowd. This isn't a sponsor read. This isn't, you know, a thing to kind of promote something that's coming up. We just want you to jump on and get people as loud as they can. And then that ended up working. I feel like you and I have that in common of having a voice that could kind of project. Also, you know, because there's a difference between asking people to get loud, and then there's people like us who kind of almost make that challenge, like, hey, you guys are loud, but y'all could be way louder.
Turn me up. Yeah.
And
you know what's funny is DJs, so like to your point, so big shout out to Gabby for doing that. So the first time we actually got me on the mic to like kind of turn up, Gabby was sick. Gabby, she couldn't make a game.
Yeah.
So they actually turned to me and was like, hey, is there anywhere that you want a guest host or whatever for Gabby? And I was like, of course.
Yeah.
Obviously, and just to tell people behind the scenes, man, like this doesn't happen overnight. Like I'm practicing in the mirror. I got my cue cards.
Yep.
Because like you, Joe, you might obviously, you could always talk about that first time you did it. It might have went off well, but you know, inside you're like, y'all got to make sure this goes off.
Yes, sir. I'll never forget.
It's on a flight right now, man. It's one or the other. And when you get the opportunity, so what I've learned is to be anybody that's inspiring to be a host, a DJ, or live entertainment, whether it's arena, you're hosting the Grammys type event or anything like that, please prepare. Go over your notes over and over, practice in the mirror. Say what you want to say so that when you get up there, you comfortably say what you want to say. And sometimes you ad lib a little bit, but as long as you're on par, but practice, look yes. in the mirror, see how you want to see how you sound, record yourself. That is very important. As a DJ, sometimes when we're mixing and we're talking, we don't need to practice that because we're in the vibe of the party. But if you're hosting in front of 20,000 people and that camera's on you, you want to be correct and you want to get it right.
Absolutely.
So that's just advice for anybody. I haven't had any faux pas, so I can't speak to that. Thank God, you know, but that's because I made sure that I was prepared and so on and so forth. So that's my small little bit of advice. So leading from that, we got to the playoffs and Gabby was like, all right, we're going to do this together. We're going to feed off of each other. You know what I mean? So we're going to do like a couple pumps at the beginning of the game to get everybody to turn up. And then for anybody who follows me on social media, you see that we get the crowd. I got a couple one-liners per game to get everybody lit. Like, you know, and then from there, my VP in game, depending if it's a puck drop, a quick whistle, he would have me jump on the mic and get these guys, you know, turned up at any game. So that, and I believe it does help get the fans. It keeps them engaged, you know, it keeps them. Stanley being in on the drum is so many different elements to that. They know that they got to respond to, and the human element of me telling them to turn up, of course.
You know what's awesome about that. And I already know the answer to this, but I think with the beauty behind us being kind of the hype guys in terms of that hosting realm for our respective teams is that a lot of those hype moments are off the cuff. Yes, maybe one or two of them are scripted, but yeah, it takes, you know, whether that's that VP or whoever's doing the show call for that game, it's like in that moment could be like, oh, the puck is about to drop in 10 seconds, but hey, use the next 8 to hype this crowd up right in the moment. And that never gets old.
It never gets old. It gets your adrenaline going because you know that you always got to be on. You always got to be ready. You know, so a lot of times, and I tell you this when JoJo, myself, and other DJs and other personalities are working, we're working double time because not only are we talking to you and engaging with you in terms of like making sure your experience is good, we got a whole production in our head.
Yes, sir.
We got to make sure that we are locked into, that we are ready to go. We can't tell our VP, oh, hold on 1 second, I'm talking to a fan. You know what I'm saying? We got to be able to move. So if you ever see us in those moments where it seems like we're spaced out, we're not being rude. We just have a whole bunch of things going on. And so just give us a little grace.
Yeah, absolutely. Genesis, we got to talk about this. Not only just winning back-to-back championships, man. I'm talking about the celebrations that go along with it, man. I mean, look, that's what I love about seeing teams like us who are in quote-unquote, what do you want, or whatever you want to call it, non-traditional markets, you know, yada, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, you win the ship. You're in South Florida. I'm seeing the cup all over. Your Stanley Cup parade is on the beach. Like, how amazing is that? It's crazy.
Bro, it can't beat it. And to think that we were able to do it back-to-back in the same place with two different outcomes. So the first year, 2020, 2024, where we won, boom, the rain comes. Kind of like in his interview, the rain came and like thunderstorm. They had to shut down the parade for about an hour. People were playing in the water, you know, lifting up their fake cups. And then boom, from the time we were able to play, I had to keep the parade at a high, you know, and I had to keep the energy up here because people have been waiting for music. And then it wasn't as hot because it was overcast. So we might have probably had 125,000 people to come out to the first one because of the rain and stuff like that. But epic time, epic moments. You know, the guys were talking hella noise on the mic. You know what I mean? Like they were talking. You saw how they were talking crazy. They were so energized to win the chip. Fast forward to this year. These guys partied so much before the parade, man. Yo. So let's talk about 11.
Yo.
Club 11.
Yo, what? First of all, I thought the beach was going to be enough in itself. And I'm like, okay, that's an epic party. I see some parties going on in Fort Lauderdale. What's that bar that is super famous?
Elbow Room.
So I actually went to Elbow Room when I went and visited you, because we stayed in Fort Lauderdale and everyone's like, you gotta go check out the Elbow Room. And so when I saw the celebration, I was like, oh, I get it. This place is legendary in Fort Lauderdale. But then you go from the Elbow Room to what looks like I was like, no, this got to be a nightclub in like Miami or something. 11, right?
You knew they had to bring it to Miami, baby. Yeah. You know they got to bring it to Miami.
To get the content, Miami's only like what, like maybe an hour away ish?
30 minutes.
Yeah, 30 minutes.
Where you are from sunrise to the club, let's give it 35, 40 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Not too far.
Yeah.
So the boys know they turned up at 11 last year. Right.
Okay.
They did,
but it didn't blow up like it did this year. It was all over.
Guess what? I wasn't there last year.
You were DJing last year. That's why.
This year, now we find out, because everything's kind of secret, because everybody doesn't really know what the schedule is going on about what the cup is, because you got to remember the organization isn't in control of this. They're not doing the players, and they got their own thing going on. So I'm trying to find out when they get into 11, because I'm going. Nobody in the organization knows. They're like, we're tired. So boom, I find out through the grapevine. We at 11 on Thursday night. Fans are going to be there. It's going to be crazy. Boom, me and my boys go from the team. Even one of my assistant VPs, we all go out there or whatever, right? Boom, it's about 10:30 now. The players ain't come yet. I'm like, all right,
oh, that's early. 10:30. That's dinner time.
Fans are there though.
Yeah, 100%.
Man. But I knew the guys weren't gonna come too late. They were gonna come like 3 in the morning. I knew they were probably gonna come around 12:30 or so. Boom. I go to the DJ booth and my man DJ my man Mr. Gray is DJing. I'm like, tap him on the shoulder, and obviously he gives me big power. He's like, get in the DJ booth, man. He's like, MC while I DJ. And I was like,
say less.
Man, I had the place on tilt, man, just from MCing and turning the place over. Because
tell me why I was on my TikTok Genesis, and you know, one of the videos I saw that really blew up was like the guys on the stage, of course, they pan to the left. You in the middle of the crowd with that mic, bro. And this is when I know Genesis is a man of the people. He could have been on that stage too. You know what I mean? What you kind of would expect out of an MC alongside of the DJ, but he was out there with the fans, man. Right there in the middle. He looked like he was in the middle of a booth, but instead of bottle service, he had a mic in his hand.
Gotta have the mic in your hand, man. Just talking to the people, make it. Because remember, these are fans that I've seen all season too,
yes,
man.
Sir.
In the games, I also feel like, you know what I'm saying, that they show so much love to me, and not only me and the players, but they see me and they know me. You know what I mean? So, and then turning up with the players. Chucky wanted me to play Red Velvet, Pink Pony
Pink
Club.
Pink Pony Club. My god! Because that was the Oilers' victory track, right?
Song, yeah.
Y'all are savage, man.
Chucky's the ultimate troll. He's the ultimate troll, man. I love that guy. Him and I were co-hosting. They brought the cup to the DJ booth. I was able to lift the cup in the DJ booth,
crazy.
Which just felt right.
Hold on. I gotta stop you for a sec. That's gotta be the biggest circle moment right there. That's where you started, man, was crushing in the clubs, then to go into the sports realm, then to ultimately win the coveted prize that we all want as DJs, especially sports DJs, to win that championship. Mm-hmm. So to lift the cup, the greatest trophy in all of sports, in the DJ booth where all this started. Dude.
Bro. It's too poetic, man.
It
was too poetic. And I'm going to give you a tidbit on that, because last year at the other parade, the first parade, I didn't get to hoist the cup because then when everybody was hoisting it, I was working.
Yep.
So I didn't get to hoist the cup. So I was like, dang, man, I didn't get to do that. Felt tough.
But you're also kind of just like, look, I'm still pretty early in my time here. You know, where do I find my place to do? You know, it is what it is. But damn it, year two back to back, I'm hoisting that damn cup. I'm hoisting the cup.
In the booth, man. So that was the highlight of my night. Of course, I had a whole first line.
Highlight of your night? More like highlight of your life, bro. Come, like, man.
Highlight of my life, man. That and in the same night, having a whole world-class first line in the DJ with me. We had Barkov, Forsling, Matthew Tkachuk. We had, who else was in there? Who else was, Marshan. And Ekelab. So we had a whole.
But here's the thing too.
It was crazy.
And talk about full circle moment, right? That's got to be another moment where, like, your whole time with the Panthers so far is like playing for this organization, playing for the players and the fans, and being in the Panthers, obviously, element as your job. In this case, again, another full circle moment where these players that. That you work for, play for, to get them hyped during the games and the fans. Now they're in your element. Now they're in your. They're on stage. They're celebrating. This is what you were doing for years in the clubs and the dance halls and stuff. And to get, like, you know, those guys again in your element on stage like that. Man, that must have felt so good.
That right? felt so great. It felt like home. It felt right. You know, it felt right.
Man,
I hope one day, one year, Anaheim is able to be able to do that because you deserve it.
I appreciate I'm sure that, you know, man. You work
with a I work with a great organization. Before we close, shout out to everybody at the Florida Panthers. What they say on TV is real. I'm not going to lie to you. I have no complaints. I got no qualms behind the scenes. Everybody's great. Everybody empowers everybody from the dance team to the host to the VP to the game presentation to the team to the GM to the owner. Everybody. I'm not going to lie to you. It's great to work for the organization. I have you know, when people behind the scenes, you be like, I actually don't. They are first class, stand up, and I appreciate working for them.
Yes, I have to say the same for me here in Anaheim, man. Truly blessed. There's a reason why I've been here since this was my first job when I was 18 back in 2010. And I've been here ever since. And again, it's a testament to the ownership, the organization, the people I work with day to day, and overall the fans, man. It's absolutely incredible. And I feel like you and I, coast to coast, have that in common. It doesn't matter the distance between us. The fact that we're sharing that same experience is absolutely amazing. So with that being said, man, Genesis, thank you so much for coming on the show. Back-to-back Stanley Cup champion, man. Again, I hope one day myself, as well as a lot of other DJs in the space here in the NHL, go in your footsteps here soon. But that's the beauty behind sports, right? If that time comes, that time comes. But regardless, whether you just won back to back, I know you're hoping for a third. For me, I haven't won a cup yet. But that what we have in common is that we're always gonna have that chase, no matter what. And that's
you're
amazing.
Chasing something. You're chasing the first one. We're trying to chase three. It doesn't matter. It's all history, all at the same time. And I pray that you, JoJo, out there, keep representing. You know what I mean? There's a reason why you're there for 15 years, yo. You're locked in. You're a part of history no matter what. You're a part of that franchise. And if and when one day, you know what I mean, you don't work for them, yo, they're going to have to hang your banner somewhere in that damn place. You know what I mean? They're going to have to hang that banner up there. 15 years, man. They don't got captains that be around that long. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's you put your staple in there. I'm going to need to see a stat there. And I'm going to need to see a stat. Something. Give them one of these. I'm going to need one of these. I need one of these or something. At least a bobblehead. I need a JoJo bobblehead. Like 15 years? I think he's old one.
Hey,
these, man.
And, you know, we say
so shout out to you, bro.
Hey. I appreciate you, man. Whether it's 15 years, a few years, bro, we're just getting started at the end of the day. Yes, and I know we've just recently met. And I gotta shout out to the fans who are all listening here. I'm gonna be honest. I met Genesis in person a couple years ago. But that was it. We just met up, took a couple photos together, a little video for the IG, but that was it. I had to let the man work. So for me getting to know Genesis on this podcast today, literally is the same for y'all, getting to know him literally in the exact same level as me right now. And that's the whole beauty behind this show, spinning it. I really appreciate you jumping on. Hey, you're going to be back on the show next season. When the Ducks play the Panthers, man, we gonna jump back on here, talk a little bit of smack, have some fun. But regardless, I can't wait to have you back, bro.
You know that's gonna be y'all Super Bowl, so look forward to it.
Get out of here with that. Yo, with that being said, man, spinning it. Yo, I'm DJ JoJo. Go Ducks.
Yo, DJ Genesis, your DJ for the back to back.
Oh, Stanley Cup champion.
Florida Panthers, baby.
Hey, we out, yo. Peace.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.